JG1. Number 15A.
All right, now Dave has a nice question to ask there. He's noticing on, which page were you looking
page
at?
Page 80.
Page 80, if you want to turn to the study aid on page 80.
Item 5.
Yeah, okay. So Dave was asking there about the science itself level. And what was the question there, Dave?
Well, on item 5, where it says criteria, it says...
isness versus operational sense. Okay. Yes, well, that when we... I mean, at the time, we were all working together with this... in the 1970s, with Max Kapler, during his summer schools, defining what the criteria might be for the science level, we all kind of hesitated about that because we know if you look on page 81 that it shows on the level of divine science that divine science level is being operates being. And one of the big points of divine science is that operative sense that is going on within the Infinite One itself. So in order to make a distinction between divine science and science itself, we had to show that, well, the difference between divine science and science itself is that science itself is the Infinite One. It's at a state of isness that includes all its activity. Like that principle includes everything, or the law includes all other laws. But divine science is showing now the operation that is going on within that principle, which is going to bring that isness right down to the human and resolve any sense of duality through those operational laws. So it didn't mean that there wasn't any operation going on within the level of science itself. It was a question of accentuation, though we knew we'd have to explain it in our classes, you know, when that criteria occurred. But being in on the groundwork of the logic going on, putting out criteria for the level, that was the kind of talk we had going on at the time. That Max was leading our discussions, talking about this criteria. It's a question of accentuation, and we knew there'd be difficulties because it doesn't mean that principle is static. That's a big point of the level of science itself. It's not static. It's operating. And that's why, in order to understand its operation, one had to take that Infinite One, and for our process of analysis, make the concession to knowing that God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But God is being its own infinite God, you see? That's the logic here, is God being its own infinite God within its infinite containment, but there's operation going on. On divine science, God, mind, is operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself as a fourfold process in order to be a self-organizing, self-correcting system to finally come to correct error. It's there for the human. The level of science itself, there is no four. There is just the standpoint of principle. There isn't a fourfold operation on the level of science itself, is there? There's just the Infinite One principle. It includes all that is going on within all the other levels, within its domain. It's showing, it's all science, you see. Science and then divine, that which comes from science. But you see, every level has to do with science, 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 science. It's all that's going on within science. That when you pull science open, it has a divine aspect, an absolute Christian aspect, and a Christian aspect, all within science. It's showing how that Infinite One, as I said, finally comes down and corrects error. But that on divine science is the operational sense of a fourfold process finally coming through all the levels to handle error. But that doesn't mean that there isn't activity going on within the infinite one, but that activity isn't a fourfold process to handle air. Being doesn't have to go out of itself or through itself or as itself for the glory of itself. It doesn't need to do that. It does that for us. It comes out of itself. Has a Christ in its translation and retranslation to make us like itself for the glory of itself. It doesn't know that in the infinite one. But what it knows is the operation of itself. See, that's not a fourfold process out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. It's a process of infinite reflection. So it is operating, but in a different way, you see. It's reflecting itself. And therefore, in its infinite reflection of itself, there's movement. Like in a kaleidoscope, where you have your pieces already established. And when those pieces are constantly restructuring themselves, you get newness. And that's what's happening in the level of science itself. Finally, in the ascending and descending way, there'll be no more ascending and descending. Once air is resolved, then the level of Christian Science level is needed no longer. Neither is the absolute Christian Science level, neither is the divine science level. We only have the level of science itself. Does that mean in the eighth day we do nothing but just stare into infinity? The big eye looking? The big eye is doing something. It's emming. It's I am that I am. It's self-reflecting upon itself. And therefore, it's that sphere that is spiraling through its intra-relationship. And there, in order to understand what goes on within that level, the law is God, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We take the infinite one, God, and know that it means mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is aming. It's being its own infinite I am. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So it stays within itself. Can you hear that? And when it stays within itself, it's just restructuring. Bringing out newness, always new. That's the infinite sense of it. It's infinite. Infinite isn't static. And infinite is always new through its restructuring. And therefore, that's what's happening here. That's when she says we spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. Well, the boundless basis is the eighth day of science itself. And the spiraling is when the circle, the one, the circle becomes the spiral, which we saw. That's what happens through restructuring. It spirals on and on and on. No wonder the symbol for the universe is the expansion, spiraling type of a universe, because that's the infinite one, always rising and higher from a boundless basis. They give one definition for the universe that will expand forever amongst many. Well, I like the one that expands forever. It seems to go with the level of science itself, law, rising. And what Mrs. Eddy said, that infinite one sphere will spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis through the restructuring of itself. Isn't it beautiful? And that's our experience. We don't even have to think about it. We just be it. That's an experience. When she says, on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings, it's irrational. Think of the experience on the level of science itself when consciousness is on that level. Wow. That's something. That is something. I just want to go forward to that dimension. The heck with the struggle of air. And that man has to teach man, or man has to be a student and a teacher, and blah, 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 blah. I just long for the day to go on. I want to go on. Don't you want to go on? Once we get a glimpse of this year, I just kept saying to myself over and over, I want to go on, I want to go on, I want to go on, I want to accept the divine infinite chaos. When you see that level of life and in spirit, life and of matter is just so boring. You have to make huge concessions, say, oh, this is fun, this is nice, this is great, But you see more. You only until one begins to say, okay, it's now, it's a state of consciousness. You can have it in your own consciousness. You can spiral by being, seeing that everything is just, divine science. The word of God says through darkness upon the face of the deep. God is all in all. And the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's idea, reflecting Him in countless forms. So I say, okay, all that I encounter every day are the countless forms of God. Then I'm happy. And I think, fine, wonderful. And we spiral and don't pay any attention to all the static that goes around. Fine, all right, goodbye, hello. And just go on. It doesn't matter. I'm serious. It just doesn't matter anymore. It's out of that desire to go forward. And that's soul, huh? Where you see in that scientific statement of being, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, but soul says it's all in all, and soul is a journey, and soul says, go on, go on, go on, go on. Go forward, go forward, go forward. Don't look back, go forward to higher order. So all that static just pushes you forward. And the more static comes, the more you want to go forward and go forward and go forward. So thank goodness for the forward. Mrs. Eddy said, love your enemies. Go forward, go forward. They make you go forward. All this kind of business. But anyhow, because the vision is so beautiful here. It's terrific. But it's an ever-present possibility, see? The goal of the Bible was divine science, the City Four Square. The goal of the textbook is science itself, which is the apocalypse. It touches that tone of science itself. And when one sees it, the infinite, that it's just being, you don't have to think this business all out, you don't have to teach it, you can just do it, be it. Gee, wow. We all want that. So it's something that one just loves, and it's beyond words. No textbook can be written about the science level. None. How can you write about an experience? You have to experience it. So all pens fly out the window and all that's business, and we just are it. And yet the textbook for divine science is the model of being, but yet look how simple the textbook is already for divine science. All we have to do in order to get to the science level is throw one sheet out the paper, out of the window. I mean, the model of being includes all that is given in the 3,000 pages or so of the Bible. It includes all that has been given in the 600 pages of the textbook on one page. Once consciousness has ascended and descended, the one page goes and it's just being. Through textbooks and past textbooks into being itself. Isn't it great? So what I would like to do is take a few moments to look again at that question that Dave Bills asked, which I think is really one of the fundamental questions of the differentiation between the science itself level and all the other levels, especially divine science. When one looks in the study aid at the laws of the levels, especially there for the level of science itself on page 80, he notes quite rightly that the criteria for the level of science itself is isness versus the operational sense. So naturally one would say, well, does that mean that there's no operation going on within being? So we just were talking before our lunch break. Oh, no, well, that certainly does mean that there's operation going on, but we were accentuating the fact that that level is at a point of isness. But there's different type of operation. Every level has a different form of operation. So the operation going on the level of science itself, of course, is that operation of the I am that I am. The one ego infinitely being its own one infinite ego. And therefore, that would be, therefore, being God's relationship to itself. how being is related to being. Nothing else is taken into that level but God itself. Everything of the human or air or anything like that is unknown. That is, as we've seen now, a pure experience. No books can be written about it, thank goodness. It's just enjoyed. Now, the law itself is stated then, being is its own infinite being. Or we could say principle is its own infinite principle. Or the infinite one is its own infinite, infinite one. And that includes everything. But in order to understand that, we make a concession to the human to figure out what in the world is going on within a realm where principle is being its own infinite principle, because that's the law, period. So we say, well, we'll go down to the level of divine science and take those capitalized terms that we know God is, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That one value of logic, as it appears on divine science, enables us to work with the capitalized terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, because it's already a standpoint of analysis of the infinite one. But on the level of the infinite one, there's no analysis. It's irrational. So as we now know, that's a concession to that level to use even the capitalized terms themselves. For example, saying that the level law is then, as a concession, it would be mind being its own infinite mind, mind being its own infinite spirit, mind being its own infinite soul, mind being its own infinite principle, mind being its own infinite life, mind being its own infinite truth, mind being its own infinite love. That's what's going on. And it's spirit being its own infinite mind, spirit being its own infinite spirit, soul being its own infinite soul, spirit being its own infinite soul. I guess I better do that again. Spirit being its own infinite mind. Spirit being its own infinite spirit. Spirit being its own infinite soul. Spirit being its own infinite principle. Spirit being its own infinite life. Spirit being its own infinite truth. Spirit being its own infinite love. As with soul. Then soul blends with the seven. Principle blends with the seven. Life blends with the seven. Truth blends with the seven, love blends with the seven, and you have then that 7x7 matrix that we saw on page, what was that now in the study aid?
33.
Okay, let's take a look. All right, yes. On page 33, we have then that sevenfold, it's a reflection going on. So the operative sense that is going on that level is the self-reflection of being through its intra-relationship, not inter. Inter usually means from one area to another, doesn't it? But intra means within itself. So the system is intra-relating within itself. It never asks for anything outside of itself. So through that self-reflection, through its intra-relationships, we get constant restructuring, constant movement, through what we could call at the self-similarity. See, that's that point of soul on the level of science itself. Every level can take on another form, but seems to be the accentuation here is that of it's always interrelating, so it's making itself over and over and over and over again. And when it makes itself over and over and over again, it's spiraling. And that's what they see today as through the logarithmic spiral and also through fractals. Now, I just want to take a moment to talk about these things. They're coming in the world. We have to know them. If we're going to stay and talk just to the little Christian scientists in our little language of Christian science, that's fine, but the world passes us by. But we have to see that what the world is seeing has the impact of this law of science itself in nature, because what we see that the structure of reality is the same structure of consciousness as the same structure in nature. We see that. Mrs. Eddy said in the sixth chapter, all science is divine. There is no physical science. You take away the physical aspect of nature and you take away the physical aspect of anything and it's of God. That's what it shows. Nature is of spirit. So what's happening is that on that level of science itself is this infinite matrix of infinity at 7x7, the one you have here and the one you have, for the tape audience, I'm talking about page 33 in the study aid by Kapler, that constantly makes yet another pattern of itself. And that would be in what we would call a logarithmic spiral, L-O-G-A-R-I-T-H-M-I-C spiral. That's an exponential growth rate that they figured out in mathematics, looking at a sunflower seed through the Fibonacci series. They were able to arrive at this logarithmic spiral, which shows an exponential growth rate. And it seems that this is how things grow in nature, like sunflowers in anomalous chambers, etc., etc. And so what we see is that this pattern of the matrix as through self-similarity, as it keeps restructuring itself, it keeps, as Mrs. Eddy said, spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. So, and these are just examples in mathematics. Mathematics is so pure that it's one of the closest examples. It's, as Mrs. Eddy said, the human symbols are never exact because this is an experience. But we have to use some symbol so consciousness looks at something to kind of get a hold of it. As she said, spiritual education will always be by symbols or metaphors. We have to have them. So therefore, we aren't saying it is the logarithmic spiral. We're just saying we're using it as an example, the closest we can come to explaining what we think we see here, or what I think I see here. I don't know if I haven't talked to anybody else about it. I just have been thinking about this all over the year, and it looks like that's what it's happening. That's what I feel. So anyhow, this starts out here as a 7x7 matrix in this, let's say it's at the very small point of the logarithmic spiral. And to tape audience, we'll just have to look up photos of a logarithmic spiral and Nautilus chamber being an example from the Fibonacci series. Anyhow, so it starts as a little teeny pattern, and then the growth is exponential, and they figured out that that growth was approximately 1.618181818181818. It's a number of infinity that they figured out in mathematics, that this growth happens at a 1.618181818. And they did that by working with, as I say, the spirals on a sunflower. I don't want to go into it all. It's mathematics. But anyhow, they saw that it kept growing. Every square was 1.618181818 bigger than the next. And so that pattern of the science level, when it restructures, it makes another pattern of itself, and then another pattern of itself, and then another pattern of itself, and then another pattern of itself, and another pattern of itself. It's self-similar, but it's always different. And we'll see the difference where they see the difference in nature. Now, that type of a pattern is a spiral that begins. That's a logarithmic spiral. You'll see it in, as I said, the Nautilus chamber. You know that, and I'm showing this picture here of that Nautilus chamber that grows from a little point. We always like that shell. And each one of these little sections in this shell is approximately 1.618 times larger than the next, following a natural law of the exponential growth. So therefore, we see that one little chamber in that seashell begins to grow, and the next one is 1.618 bigger, and the next chamber is then that same size, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, until we finally get that beautiful spiral that we enjoy. That is, therefore, the way that's called a logarithmic spiral, as I said, growing at an exponential rate. That seems to be a nice example of what Mrs. Eddy says, that we spiral then higher and higher from a boundless basis. For all we know, that's the way the universe is doing also. If you start at the center with the Big Bang, perhaps, nobody's saying it's so, that the universe, they say one theory is that it's expanding at the same logarithmic rate, and one of the theories is it never ends. It goes on and on and on. That seems to be Mrs. Eddy's concept. It rises higher and higher from a boundless basis. And on that expanding universe, we have these galaxies that seem to be going the other way. They seem to be heading in at the other exponential rate as the universe expands out in that spiral. The galaxies seem to be contracting towards a black hole. But what they see today, when it gets into that big crunch, suddenly out comes white light and it starts again. It seems to be a self-generative universe. But based on this sense of spiraling.